So the last thing that Hans was talking about was the sustainability board. That is a very nice segue into our next agenda item. Lee, may I give you the floor to give us an update on what the latest is?
Thank you very much, Bill. And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the Advisory Council members. I think Ken Warren is on this call as well, so somewhere between the early hours, Ken, I'll just say hello and thank you again for being able to be part of the Advisory Council at a very difficult time zone for you, Ken. Our Chair of Trustees, Erky, explained earlier just some high-level elements regarding this element, this part of the presentation I wanted to do, which was to really update the Advisory Council members on the process that's been occurring since we actually had come together for that in-depth discussion over a couple of days in November of last year. So I have provided a pack there. I'm not proposing to go through those slides in any particular detail, but they were to give you the elements around process and what is occurring. I will take the opportunity to highlight certain points and then very conscious of the time that we do leave time for conversation and questions that might arise from council as well. One point I should make to start with is that there is particular reference with the contributions from the Advisory Council that did come through the consultation process. Just being very clear as well, the trustees, at that point it was the task force, did have the opportunity shortly after the engagement with the Advisory Council to hear directly from Bill, the elements that arose from those 2 days' discussion. So very much I want the council to be aware of the closing of that link, not only through the notes that were taken, but certainly Bill's analysis of the key elements were certainly passed to the task force as well. You'll notice in the slides that approximately 70% of the membership of the Advisory Council organised a submission as well, so we are very grateful to all of you for the involvement that you've been able to provide. That period through October to December was a fairly demanding program of outreach for all of the trustees, and that gave them very direct feedback to the questions that were posed in the consultation paper. And as Erky indicated earlier, all of the responses that we received are on our website and available for people to view and consider further. I think by the time we got to the conclusion of 2020 and the start of this calendar year, 21, we were certainly at staff level challenged by the number of responses we'd received, and in a way then how we would progress with the analysis, which we've been able to do and are continuing to do at this point. One of the decisions we thought was important to take to the trustees was whether we could divide the engagement with trustees into basically two parts of the analysis. And so we did do that. And so the meeting of the trustees in early February really was focused on the first three questions of the consultation paper. Those, if you recall, were the higher level questions, and particularly around the demand-driven process for global sustainability standards and for a role for the IFRS Foundation that they could play. So those were the key areas that we did take to the analysis to the trustees in early February. From that meeting, I've included in the slides some of the key remarks that were then made onto the public record shortly after that meeting. And I believe we did circulate it, as we should after each, to the advisory council before it became a public release. So here we are today. We are working very assiduously to get our next piece of analysis to the trustees for them to consider in their next meeting. That analysis will be very much into what you might describe as the more specific questions that were posed in the paper. And here I'm particularly focused on questions 4 to 9. They talk about the relationships with different jurisdictions. They talk about the relationships and working with those already with existing initiatives in sustainability reporting, TCFD, the reference to the Group of Five, and so forth. But importantly, we also are preparing the analysis around target audience. Should it be the investor focus, multi-stakeholder? How would that then impact the work? Looking at the scope, and again, advisory council members, you recall we had a very fulsome discussion around climate first, and should there be other work after that? How far should that work actually go through through environment and then potentially into other areas of sustainability reporting? And also around thinking about the target audience and what's material for that target audience as well. So we're preparing those analysis. Erki made reference to the steering committee, and just to give a little bit more detail on that, so the task force has concluded the heavy lifting that it needed to do, which was the research, the preparation of the consultation paper, and very much helping with the outreach program. Now that we're coming into the analysis, the steering committee has been set up. It in effect includes the chairs of each of the committees that the trustees had already set up: nominating committee, due process oversight committee, audit and finance, and so forth. And the steering committee, as Erki mentioned, is chaired by Lucrezia Reichling. They are doing now the early work on the analysis, and then allows us to take soundings and move forward to the discussion with the trustees coming up in March. So quite a bit of work in a relatively short period of time has been occurring, and we're wanting to make sure that there is a sentiment that if there is that demand, which we've spoken about already from the first analysis that we've done, that those that are wanting to see where the trustees thinking, that we're moving to developing and being able to share that thinking as swiftly as we can. The media release that we made in after the trustee meeting in February had a specific reference to COP26, which is in November of this year, and that is a point in which we were hoping, having worked through all of the things that we need to do, analyse carefully our preconditions or our key requirements for success, that we would be able to make some level of announcement at that time. But there is a lot more work that still needs to be undertaken, particularly in the engagement with the trustees, so it is quite work in progress at this time. I might pause there, Bill, because obviously this was to just highlight certain elements that had been covered in that pack of slides, but we were very mindful that as this meeting was being set up, having an opportunity, not necessarily for the deepest dive, but having an opportunity to engage again with the Advisory Council on process would be valuable.
Good. Lee, thank you very much. An enormous amount of work in a short amount of time, and the whole time you managed to stick to a really excellent governance, and you've stuck to process, which is not always easy, given the amount of attention this is getting and the amount of work that's involved. So well done, Lee, to you and to staff.
Thank you.
Let's hear. I see there's a few questions. We're going to start with Thorsten, and then we'll go to Bi Leng. Thorsten, please, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you very much, Bill. And Lee, thanks for the summary. I was also very impressed with the consultation work, and including the amount of feedback that you received. I represent the European Accounting Association, and we've already had the pleasure to have a common virtual workshop on the topic. And as you still remember from that workshop, I think the academic community was very much interested in the topic and also contributed to the consultation process. And I guess two main questions transpire from the whole discussion, although I might be simplifying it. So one question relates to a little bit to what Martin Schlömer asked before. So how will the domains of the ISB, including the management commentary aspect, be delimited from the new board's remit? So where's the line, in a way, to be drawn between the financial statements, including potentially management commentary, and the other information? Will it be the type of user? Will, users' information demands, investors versus others, will they really be different in the long run, given a long horizon? And the other question is, some of our academic members have had very strong views against the ISB's, the IFRS Foundation's proposal, and they are a very vocal and very engaged subcommunity within our academic community. And their point is basically, have you thought about potential unintended consequences of moving into the space, including, for example, slowing down a process that might already be well underway, potentially with the GRI playing an important role? And how will those potential objections be considered as trustees move forward with this project? Just want to bring those two questions to your attention. Thank you.
Lee, let me take your guidance. Would you like to go through, hear some questions and then respond, or would you like to answer as we go along? Up to you.
Look, I might tackle that one particularly from Thorsten, because it does have a couple of elements to it, Chair, if you're okay with that.
Please.
Thorsten, thank you very much. And thank you as well to the EAA for hosting an opportunity for further engagement during that outreach program. And hopefully we might be able to do something a little bit further as the work continues there as well, Thorsten. On your first question, which is around the engagement with management commentary and financial statements and notes, I can certainly provide an element or a perspective, but I would certainly welcome Hans back to any further reflections that he may have, because I know he's been very much deep in thinking around this. But I think, Thorsten, you used a phrase like, where is the line that might exist between the two boards or something akin to that? And I think as we reflect more in this area, Thorsten, that line will continue to change. And I think it will be then incredibly essential that those two boards are able to engage, share information, and their understanding of perspectives of what their two agendas will be doing over time. And therefore, something that might be of focus at, say, the Sustainability Standards Board may flow back to the ISB and vice versa. So I might just pause there. It's quite a deep question, but Hans, you may wish to say something further there as well.
Yeah, basically building on how I answered a previous question in my round, which is that, the management commentary will only give high-level principles on how information on sustainability might interact with your business model, with your future earnings, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, giving guidance as to how to include this kind of information in your annual report and how it should interact with other elements of your annual report. The information that you would like to put there will probably be generated by more detailed sustainability standards, for example, on the impact of your CO2 imprint on your business model or on your future earnings. And that will not be generated by the management commentary guidance itself. That should be generated by more detailed, structured standards that could be that could be generated by the sustainability board. So it is more, as I said, a docking station where lots of information comes together and how and where it is explains how they interact with each other. It doesn't replace the necessity for sustainability standards. So they don't bite each other, they complement each other.
Thank you, Hans.
Clear.
Thank you, Hans. Thorsten, your second question, I would probably start by certainly acknowledging the very good work that the GRI has done over many years. And the trustees, or some of the trustees and I, have certainly had opportunities to already engage carefully with the GRI and about how their sentiment of their work is being shaped for the future. And those conversations will continue. I think at the heart of the reflections from some parts of the key areas of the academic community were very much recognising that level of work, its contribution over many years, and that it needs to make sure it has an impact looking forward. And the trustees are very alive and understanding of that, and will take that into account as they're working through the variety of different options that are available that they need to consider. But rest assured, those that dialogue with the GRI, as with other groups who are working in this space, is very much a key priority for us.
Good. Many thanks, both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lee, and thank you, Hans. Let's hear from Bi-Ling, and after Bi-Ling, we'll hear from Javier. But Bi-Ling first.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Lee, for your excellent efforts in the outreach activity, which have contributed to 500 over comment letters. And of course, we are pleased to know that the foundation is moving forward following the broad support of the global sustainability standards. So now that the foundation received the support for a SSB, I'm wondering whether there's any plan or proposal under consideration on what I would think quite the difficulties that is really funding and financial support, and which probably require new stakeholders. Have we actually worked on that list that who we need to knock on the doors? Because you know funding that we need some process and some time required. The second difficulties, I guess, is how do we actually find the appropriate technical expertise, as many with experience and interest in sustainability may not necessarily have the expertise associated with the standard setting. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Bi-Ling, and thank you for your kind remarks. To both of your questions, the answer probably lies in the current structures of what we have within the IFRS Foundation. In regards to when we get to the point of identifying further streams of funding, or as you described it, knocking on the door, that needs to sit fundamentally, first and foremost, with our Audit, Finance and Risk Committee. And they basically are doing that role at the moment, albeit very much from the perspective of the Foundation and strictly the ISB at the moment. So in a way, Bi-Ling, we can see when we get to that point, or if we get to that point, that committee will then need to undertake its what you might describe as normal processes of how it will then work with contributors already and identification of other contributors that may wish to make contributions on sustainability standards. In terms of the technical expertise, some of that now exists already in terms of the work of our Human Capital Committee. So that committee operates in terms of helping the foundation staff and the trustees consider around the broader elements of managing and identifying talent that we need at the foundation. So that committee, if we get to that point as well, Bieling, will need to be involved in the preparation of the identification of the new skill sets, what it would look like, levels of experience, and also how it would then operate within the foundation. Now, both of those will need to be guided. There is very good expertise externally that we can then tap into to say, look, we're thinking of this, does this make sense? And being able to continue to take advice. So we're trying to make sure that as we progress through this, and if we're at the right points, we embed the types of functionality you're referring to into the governance or the structures we already have in place.
Thank you, Lee. Let's hear from Javier, and then after Javier, we have Maria Angeles. Javier, the floor is yours.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Hi, hi, Lee.
Hello.
Well, again, it's very encouraging to see all the support that IFRS Foundation has gotten for this. So that's my general comment that everybody's making anyway. I had two questions, but one already I think has been addressed is the financing. I think Bill already has touched upon the financing, so I'm not going to go ahead with that. But the second one is regarding the steering committee. In the process of preparing the final report that, if I understand, might be doing at the end of the year, I mean, I think November is when it's planning to come up with very, very specific conclusions there and release the report. The steering committee will be working and engaging with market participants. Will more work will be done internally? I mean, how do you envisage going forward? Or is it in the process of defining how will be the work to be done?
Thank you. So the steering committee, therefore, is oversighting and guiding the foundation staff as we're preparing the analysis and a range of work streams that we're doing. Importantly, one of those work streams, Javier, is certainly around continuation of the outreach that we've been doing already leading up to the submission of the responses. And that has now again been classified into different streams, you know, the multilateral and public authority stream, the investor community, the preparers and so forth. So we do have that program in place, and at points we'll need to activate it to stronger levels and then recalibrate it to when we're going through our different phases. So it won't feel, I don't believe, the same level of intensity that perhaps that October through to December period was, but it will certainly be as extensive because, to be frank, it's a very good stream of outreach, and we want to make sure we keep ourselves well informed as we go through this next phase.
All right, thank you. That was very good. Thanks. That's enough.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Maria Angeles, and then James. Maria, please.
Yes. Thank you, Bill. Ali, well, as the rest of my colleagues, first thing is congratulations because the consultation was very satisfactory for I think for all of us. So congratulations for this support. Magnificent news. Well, I would like to share with you my feeling because from my point of view of preparing the financial statements this year, you know that investors have carry out a really huge pressure for entities to do a comparable reporting.
Yeah.
So we all know that this is goes too fast. Almost we feel that every quarter are demanding more and more requirements about sustainability standards. So in our opinion, I think it would be very desirable very useful to have a roadmap with clear milestones. In the meantime, of course, regarding with the comment to the management commentary, we can work on that, of course. And I think both initiatives are completely compatible, but our feeling is the sooner we could start with clear milestones in the development of sustainability standard, the better, in our feeling.
Understood. Thank you very much for that comment, and can understand why that is important to you and others. So, yeah, thank you.
Let's hear from James and then George. James.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Lee, maybe it's more of an observation than a question. And firstly, I'm delighted in the direction that the trustees are going. I come from a jurisdiction where we've embraced integrated reporting. So it really is great. And I'm really pleased that our comments at our previous meeting about the linkage between the ISB and the SSB is important and should be there. And the fact that management commentary practice statement is seeing as that is that linking standard, if you want, between the two. I suppose my observation is, I think we need to be, and maybe this is an auditing hat coming on now, but I think we need to be very disciplined as to the terms we use. You know, I hear the term financial statements being used interchangeably with annual reports. I don't think they are. I think they are different concepts. And, you know, where each board is focusing is going to be very important for people to understand the remit of each board. I also think that most of us on this committee probably, when we hear the word financial statements or annual report, think of a wad of paper that drops on the desk. I think we're going to see a lot of changes as technology progresses, and we've seen that already in the last year. But I think all those factors are probably going to affect the board, and the discipline and how we refer to different things is probably going to be quite important for people to actually understand what the different boards would be thinking about. So just an observation from my side.
Thank you, James. Wise counsel, particularly around consistency of language, which is something I know the trustees have been very focused on as well. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, James. Let's hear from George Aguchi, and then we'll hear from Eduardo Flores. George, the floor is yours.
Hi. Yes, thank you, Bill. And thank you, Ari, for hard work. I appreciate what you did. And I have the two questions. One is after the last advisory council, we saw the merger of the SASB and ILC or such a movement. Those movements is likely to affect the discussion of the SSB? That is my first question. And my second question is you might already talked about the schedule of the SSB. Could you once more clarify or talk about the schedule of the SSB? I mean the next timing of the next exposure draft, and is there any risk or the factors which delays the schedule? Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. I think you may have actually had three questions in there as I write them down, but I'll try and do justice to the matters you've raised. I think on your first question, you were referring to that there has been the movement between the IIRC and SASB in creating the Value Foundation. And is that a positive? You know, what we would say is we continue to hear on the public record the very clear statements from both of those groups, and to some degree the new one being proposed, as being very supportive of the direction of what the foundation is proposing and their desires to work with us as we move forward. We've recognised that they have done some outstanding work in those existing organisations, and if we are to go forward, and it's very much around collaboration and building on that work. So we've seen that no change really coming from the very positive engagement we've been having in light of their particular announcements. With the schedule, George, I made reference, and it's in the slide pack as well, we've got very clear attention to the next trustee meeting coming up. That's very important to progress around the analysis on the questions I referred to earlier. And then also we've got steps leading up to clarification of the definitive proposal in September and the announcements in COP26 in November. We will put further clarity and detail as we start to move through our next steps, some of which will need to be refined and recalibrated as we continue to shape our work and take advice. In terms of risks, there's lots of challenges associated with this work. That's probably where I would say we've got more work to do, but it's a process where we're continuing to take advice from those very clearly involved already, and continuing to that theme, if the demand remains in place for what we're proposing to do, then we will work our way through those particular challenges.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, George. Please, let's hear from Eduardo. Eduardo, welcome. The floor is yours.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, all of you, for this helpful and kind updating, especially for a new member. So, as prior mentioned, the management commentary will much probably a general guide to provide some drivers to about the impact on the business model. However, I've talking with some investors and users of the account information. In terms of the sustainability, they are more worried about the impact of the business model in the ESG topics. I'd like to know if these two ways, not only impact on the business model, but the impact of the business model on the ESG issues, for instance, we will also be considering on management commentary and the sustainability reporting. Thank you.
I will let Hans, if he wishes to make any further comments on management commentary, but that certainly is an element that has come through in some of the responses, Eduardo, to the consultation, and we're at a point where that information is being collated and analysed for our trustees. So I can't say anything further at this time because it's certainly part of the consultation that we need to go forward at the next trustee meeting and perhaps beyond that as well. But the point is well made, and it's certainly been included into the analysis.
Lee, I think that you explained it pretty well, so I have not much further to add.
Thank you, Hans.
Thank you. Let's hear from Aiko. Aiko, the floor is yours, and then we'll hear from Martin Boss. Aiko, please. Aiko, are you on mute? We're going to come back to you, Aiko. Martin, let's please turn to you then. The floor is yours, Martin.
No, thank you. Thank you, Bill. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Martin.
First, I'm amazed by the progress that's being made, really. It's something I actually many people hope for, but really good to see that there's so much momentum now. I do see probably we all see a risk that the so-called alphabet soup of frameworks somehow spills over to a future alphabet soup of jurisdictions. And I just wonder, we obviously see some progress in Europe on this front, and it will, of course, require good communication and collaboration with Europe to address that in the future. But I'm I don't have that much visibility about any possible other jurisdictions. Maybe you can shed a light on that, whether the foundation is actively engaging with jurisdictions by saying, hey, and we're making progress here, and can we own this space of reporting? Thank you.
I think, Martin, the short answer is we're trying to make sure we've got the right level of communication and engagement occurring throughout the globe as best you can when you think about the global proposition and importantly, the jurisdictions that perhaps have got moved and already commenced in this work have been very forthcoming in sharing some of what their thinking is and other information with us. So they're all at slightly different points. Some might be at the similar, but there is a range there. And I think it's important as we move through this that the trustees have a very clear sight of where each, or not each, but where major jurisdictions are as we move through this, that they have a good sentiment around the developments globally. So we're regularly preparing that information, and we'll continue to update it with developments that we see. It's important the proposals that we think about have a very a good understanding of alignment or potential differences with jurisdictions.
Good answer, Lee. I mean, this is such an important topic, and I completely agree with you. Communication is key, and the messaging is key. I'm conscious of time. We're running a little bit behind, but that's all right. This is an important topic. We're going to go back to Aiko, and then we'll hear from Ken. Aiko, please. No? Aiko, are you muted? All right, we will we'll try again in a moment. Ken, the floor is yours, Ken. What time is it? Is it 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. for you?
No, it's only 1:30 a.m. in the morning. I'm still going strong. Thanks very much for your comments at the start, and yeah, congratulations on progress to date on this project. I guess I'm just looking to kind of follow up on a few of the questions you've had already. It's good to hear that there's a large amount of dialogue and consultation going on with the GRI, with the new foundation that comprises IRC and SASB. Yeah. But I guess I'm interested in whether you're forming a vision about where that collaboration and that dialogue might lead. It seems to me that there's possibly two main routes that it could take. One is in a little bit like what SASB and IRC have done, there'll be a consolidation, and GRI may want to think about consolidating with the foundation, or the foundation with GRI, or an alternative route is to be reasonably clear about marking out the niche that GRI and other frameworks have versus the niche that the foundation is pursuing. So I wonder whether you've got any comments on, you know, the vision, the objective of this work. Given we've all pretty much aware that there has been a lot of work going on, we acknowledge that work, and we want to use it where we can.
Thank you, Ken. I might sort of try and reply to that by talking in two phases. And I think the first phase, which a lot of the attention is at the moment, is understanding the content that those different organisations you've referred to have actually prepared, and how deep is it, how much of it is. And I think our focus is very much on that content first and foremost. some of what I think your question is alluding to is a little around the future of the organisations as well, and collaboration and engagement. And to be frank, we're looking more at the first stream at this point, because we think the emphasis has really come that if you were to go forward with this type of proposal, oh, I'm getting a few. I don't know if you can see it, that feedback.
Sorry, Lee, carry on, please. Please, as a reminder, can everyone mute their computer? Thanks, Lee. Please go on.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill. So, Ken, I was trying to just say, look, at this point, the real focus of our work is about content. The reason that is very clearly the messages come through from the consultation. If you're starting to head in this direction, please don't start with a fresh piece of paper. Please look carefully and engage with those that have already been producing this good work, such as the prototype that was released in mid-December, and start to think about how that could be used and utilised. I think your second element is around the future of the collaboration agreements and so forth. We would need to think further through as we move through the process on that.
Good, Lee. Thank you very much. Ayuko, the floor is yours, and then we're going to hear from Alain. Ayuko, please. Ayuko, please.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I appreciate Lee. I appreciate your hard work, and I have a small question relating to the schedule. Your slide on page 8 you mentioned about that it was Foundation's constitution to accommodate on SSP or be exposed for a 90-day comment period. It means that it is exposed soon and before the September, the comment period is end. It is my small question. And about the detailed analysis on the questions, is there any issues relating to that? Some barrier or something to be done before when we discussed before there is any difficulties which we discussed in November. And third point, I also add a word as a trustee member of the IBSC, sustainability reporting is a priority for us from a variation perspective too, and we support the idea of the running SSP. Thank you.
Ayuko, thank you very much for those comments and questions. If I understand in particular around difficulties, your question around difficulties, I think I would come back to simply say, as we work through this, there are quite a few challenges that the foundation staff and the trustees will need to navigate their way through if that's the appropriate course to take. For an exercise of this size, there is naturally those types of challenges, and we will do our best to address those. There isn't one in particular that I'd say that's the difficulty. There is quite a number that we need to just work through and take appropriate steps in addressing, and making sure, as I said earlier, that we continue to take advice, listen to our stakeholders as we continue to take steps. The reference to the constitution change was in the slide, not around timing. That's still to be finalised. You know, we need to take other steps before we get to that point. But it was to signal to the council that if we were to move further ahead, at a point we will need to go out for a consultation regarding changes to the constitution.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Ayuko, and thank you, Lee. Alain, the floor is yours, and then we're going to hear from Tanya from South Africa. Alain, please.
Thank you very much. And I apologize for my previous Christmas meeting interruption. I thought I was muted, but I got disconnected, reconnected, and forgot to remute. So apologies for that, to Hans and to all other committee members. I just want to very quickly follow up on a point that's been raised in a number of questions already, and it's about timing. Now, I understand that the discussions are still ongoing in the committee now, and the trustees still need to take decisions and so on. And I understand that a lot of the discussion now is about sort of next steps in the immediate future. But it would really be very helpful to have some indication, slightly longer term indications of when does the foundation anticipate that it could come out with a first set of standards? Because that really is a critical question. For those jurisdictions, such as the EU, that are currently moving forward, because we have a pressing need to move forward, and we have a legislation that's already been adopted that needs standards in order to be implemented. Of course, if standards arrive in 5 or 10 years, then it's no good to us.
Yeah.
So some kind of indication of the timing would be very helpful. Thank you. Yeah.
Warwick, thank you, Elaine, and good to see you, and also to recognise the very good work that you and others are doing, certainly with the directive. Let me take that away. It's certainly not something I could reflect on today, but the message is very clear to make sure that we can be as clear as possible regarding the production of standards. And back to an earlier comment I made when I was referring to the content that others have been developing, whether it was through the Alliance of Five or through the work of the TCFD, certainly we've been strongly encouraged through the consultation responses to make sure that we build upon that work and don't start with a clean piece of paper. So that's very much foremost in our minds, to making sure that we're as swift in what we can deliver as appropriate. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, Alain. And thank you for that, and thank you, Lee. Let's hear from Tanya, and then after Tanya, we're going to hear from Nigel, and then we'll draw this discussion to an end. But first, Tanya, please.
Thank you very much for the floor, and good afternoon or evening or morning to all. Yes. And thank you for my first virtual meeting. I look forward to one in person. I'm perhaps not as optimistic as you in terms of a rollout of vaccine. I think we're maybe at about 6,000 people in our country, so things are a little bit slower. Just in terms of reflecting on our sort of introductory session that we had, Bill, and sort of views and expectations of the trustees that really looking to us from a strategic role, you know, I've been listening to the conversation intensely. I've been involved in two separate processes in terms of giving comments into this important work, both through our Institute of Chartered Accountants and then as an organization, our head of sustainability submitted a letter, and as an exchange, there's a lot of work that we've done from an SRI perspective, so I think she brought a lot of value to the party. And certainly getting the strong message and buy-in that this is an area that is in need of work. And I guess there are two observations I'd like to make, maybe questions. So I guess the one hand is this is an enormous minefield, I think, that needs to be navigated. The benefit of doing it through an IFRS Foundation type of structure, I guess the caution is to make sure that that's not lost. So yes, to build on the good work that other entities have done, but at the same time, it's that credibility, it's that correct due process that will bring with it the acceptability of these standards. So I think that's going to be an interesting challenge to navigate, to bring in the right individuals to play a part in this, but at the same time, to stamp the ISB culture, as it were, because it's is going to be the challenge, is to not have this mash of everyone now shouting the loudest. So I think it is going to be a very interesting channel to navigate, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot of it in the months and perhaps years to come. I guess the other observation then to make is that it is an interesting time from an IFRS Foundation perspective. It's an important time in terms of doing consultation for the next 5 years. And I'm sure that many colleagues like myself around the world will talk about these, I forget the number of words one uses for it, but these interesting times from a COVID perspective and from a normal business perspective, the types of challenges that we've had to deal with. So I guess my caution, you know, is just to make sure, and I'm sure it's had lots of detailed thought, is through all of this. I mean, the, you know, the sustainability board, to the extent it has to be set up, funding still needs to be created. But presumably in the meantime, one is tapping into the resources, the valuable resources of the IFRS Foundation. And just to ensure that a ball is not dropped on that side, that, you know, the consultation process, the important work that needs to carry on from a financial reporting standard side of things, that we don't lose sight of something because of, and I this certainly feels like, from a trustee perspective, probably one of the biggest tasks that has been taken on. And as I said, I'm not sure how that balance is being managed before extra resources and financial commitment is, you know, is committed to. And I guess that's part of our role, is to try and remind yourselves that that we don't lose focus on all of these other things. I mean, it's unheard of that we've had ISB doing quick consultations and important consultations on COVID, et cetera. So there's just an enormous amount of pressure, and the risk is that an important ball is dropped in all of this, that either an existing ball gets dropped or that the setup of the sustainability board does not achieve the objectives that everyone hopes.
Thank you for those observations. I think they're very well made. You know, I think you know, the trustees are very much focused on not only the work developing through on sustainability, but as you heard earlier through the update from Hans in particular, the very busy schedule that's been undertaken and will continue to undertake by the ISB. That's not only responding to some of the more recent COVID challenges, but certainly looking further ahead in the work program as well. So some of the heavy lifting, Tanya, regarding the sustainability work has been really carried out by I and my team, which is around the foundation and the operations focus. Very much we've engaged, particularly with Hans and Sue and others, as we needed to, but it's important that work of the ISB is essentially carried through in the way that you've desired it as well. So thank you.
Good. Thank you, Tanya, and thank you, Lee. Nigel, you have the last word, sort of. Actually, Lee will have the last word, but let's hear from Nigel then.
Yes, please, Lee, you definitely have that last one, not me. Thanks, Bill, and Lee, thanks for the presentation. So my question sort of surrounds the issue of who you have been, you know, speaking with. You mentioned the GRIs of the world. I'm assuming it's the, you know, sort of the big five, as it were, of the sustainability standard setters. You know, the IRC, the you know, GRI, SASB, and so forth. I have two questions. Are there any other sort of standard setters outside of the big five that you have been speaking to? And that sort of leads me to sort of my second question, observation/question. When you think of this space, there are tens of others, and I think I've heard numbers such as almost 100 different frameworks that are out there. Some are very niche type frameworks that, you know, they may have done a lot of good work, but it's very narrow in focus and so forth, but very good work in this area of sustainability. How do you decide who you speak to concerning sort of the frameworks and so forth? Especially considering, you know, some of these big five, they are probably more established, wider audience, and probably jostling for, you know, for sort of the attention or to be prioritized. But how do you ensure that you receive, you know, the valuable input that you can get as you as you consult with others, even other frameworks that are not necessarily the big five, who have you been speaking to, if you can, you know, provide that information, and how do you decide who to speak to, you know, let's say outside of the big five?
Sure. Thank you, Nigel. To be frank, the foundation is open to talking to anyone who's particularly active in this area. And I think in the way we approached the consultation paper and the outreach program that supported that, that was a very clear message we were making as we moved through our variety of channels of communication. So others that you might expect, Nigel, who weren't part of that five, have certainly provided information back through the consultation paper and responses as well, and we're able to then pick up elements that they've raised as they've gone through. I think you're right in saying that there are some that have probably advanced work in particular niche areas that they might not necessarily even call themselves a standard setter, but have certainly done work in providing a level of thinking and analysis in particular parts. One that we should make reference to, Nigel, in particular, is the work of the TCFD. So TCFD is clearly separate to the Alliance or the Group of Five. We've directly had work engagement with that because we see it as such a critical piece of work that's generated a huge amount of value and of momentum already in that space. The engagement with the Group of Five, if you recall as well, IOSCO has made some particular statements at various points around the importance of the engagement with that group, and that's certainly something that we were alive to making sure that others who are encouraging us to engage with, we certainly take those steps as well.
Good. Thanks for that question, Nigel, and thank you, Lee. Lee, we're going to end it here. You know, we've heard many kudos to you and your team, all warranted, of course. I know how much it's an enormous amount of work, and you already have a pretty full plate, a pretty full agenda of you know, of everything else that the IASB and the trustees are working on. So really, congratulations. You know, we've heard questions about scheduling and timing and working with,
yes,
with the other groups that are involved in this. Christian raises really an excellent question. This is really speaks to the, you know, the role of the advisory council. You know, on the one hand, it is so important, so interesting for us to hear firsthand from you an update and what the latest is, and everyone really appreciates that. But at the same time, the reason we are here is to provide you and your team and trustees and the IASB support, advice, steering, heads up, things like that. So I'm sure that this agenda, this topic will be on the agenda for the April meeting, and maybe you and I and your team, we can have a discussion. We've talked about this before. How can we really add value? How can we provide feedback in a structured, systematic way? So that's something, Christian, I appreciate you bringing that up. This is something that I really do want to focus on. Is there any final words, Lee, you'd like to leave us with on this important topic?
Probably the final piece, Bill, would be, again, where I started to thank the council, because it was only in mid-November or whenever it was, early November, that we had that in-depth discussion for a couple of days. A lot of that advice has flown through into the analysis that we've been able to undertake. I thought it was important today simply to give the update without necessarily getting into too much, but I think, Bill, for our next meeting, we can certainly look further and deeper as to that ongoing support from the council. But again, you know, I've got six areas I've written down, and my team's listening in as well. So we've got plenty, again, coming from the Advisory Council in terms of advice and insight. So thank you.
All right, Lee. Thank you again. This has been really, really very interesting. And thanks, to the council for everyone's feedback and questions. Okay, we are, I wouldn't say hopelessly behind, but we are behind, but this is an important discussion. Let's break. It is by my, it's 5 minutes until the hour. Let's break until about 5 minutes after the hour. So 10 minutes for, as people like to say, a nature break. But if that's okay with everyone, we'll reconvene at around 5 minutes past the hour, and we'll pick up again with Neely Shah talking about work in a post-COVID world. So see you in about 10 minutes, everyone. Thank you very much again.